next time. If there's one, I know that most women are strictly out for the dough. They call Gojo.
Welcome back to the silliest Black is Break ever. Definitely the funniest one of 2013. You have caught us in rare form. We have tonight at the table Chris Layman, Brother Malcolm, Toria Williams, and God bless them, John and Triana Wood, who are having to sit here through our antics. I don't know why we are all...
Hoodies at my heels.
But tonight's topic is... gold diggers. And here's the question, because gold digging in general is just not enough. What is wrong with wanting to marry somebody that has some money on either side? A man wanting to marry a woman with a little bit of change, a woman wanting to marry a man with a little bit of change. What is wrong with that?
I guess nothing.
Well, it kind of depends on what you, this is John. It sort of depends on, I think, your priorities. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to marry somebody who has money. And there's nothing wrong with financial stability being a part of, I think, what you consider when you're interviewing prospective life partners. But, I mean, to me, you know, if you're marrying somebody only for money... I mean, you know, it's not going to hurt me necessarily, but I think that you're selling yourself short. The history of marriage across human history has been really, marriage has been sort of more of an economic relationship. Yeah, than actually a romantic relationship. I mean, a lot of cultures don't even think about marriage in those... Yeah, a lot of cultures don't... Yeah, a lot of cultures through history... don't look at marriage primarily in that lens. It's not quite a modern notion, but it's something that, you know, I mean, that really sort of developed, like, in the era of courtship, like, you know, pre-Victorian age and all that. I mean, so, I mean, but I think it's important to marry for love.
It would be interesting to see, though. It would be interesting to look at statistics and look at, let's say, arranged marriages as compared to marriage for love and which ones are... most successful. I don't know how we would even classify success, but the ones that have lasted and like happily.
That's the thing.
That's the key.
That would be the difficult part. Like perhaps you marry for money, but does it mean you also have to sacrifice your happiness? If like I'm marrying you for money, but I don't like you. So for me, that would be difficult. But for someone else, it may not be like, I like you because you have money, right?
Right.
And I get that, you know, I get that there's some truth in that. But I think long term, like 2, 3, 4 years down the road, like, but you got to climb on top of me and do your business. That's what it will start feeling like, you know, if you don't like the person and you're not.
I think Hugh Hefner would have a better record if that worked. Really.
I was just about to say, all of the, Anna Nicole, right, mm-hmm. married that older gentleman. And what's interesting about those moments is you'd be a fool to think that someone that is in their 20s and you're in your 80s, and that they're falling in love with you for who you are, your 80s, knowing you've been through your 20s and you know what you're thinking about looking at and wanting at that age. So for me, I feel that you are absolutely, I mean, you're partly responsible if you're getting in a gold digging relationship. Like, I feel like you are,
in denial, naive.
No, when you willingly participate. Anyway, you understand what you're getting yourself into.
Right.
You understand the sort of the contract that's... And basically, it's not like they're just only getting your money. You're getting something out of it. I mean, you're 9 times out of 10, that gold-digging relationship, and I'm giving you the extreme example, but that's what I'm thinking of right now, is when it's a younger woman marrying a very wealthy older man, is that, you know... he's getting the satisfaction of being able to have that fantasy or whatever he wants, and that's his, mm-hmm. technically.
Mm-hmm. But that's a lot of money. I mean, to give that, like, all right, well, I have this young person. I mean, it worked. It's a thing for athletes and entertainers, too, that you will find somebody that's interested in you, and do you know how much their interest is in of you or, you know, your wealth, and your tax figures and all that stuff. I don't have a problem if somebody is concerned that I don't want to marry somebody who basically does not want to work and is okay with not working. Because I don't, them chicks who do that, I don't get y'all at all. You know, the guy, he ain't been working for like, if he just lost his job, all right, but if you've been with the dude, he ain't had a job in like a year, and he doesn't seem like he's trying to get a job, why the hell are you with him?
And what necessarily is gold digging? You know, like, I have mixed feelings on this because I don't know. After being out here in this here workforce, getting up every day, you know, not that I'm sacrificing any of my strength as a black woman, but, you know, I can lay down my mouth and, you know, take a few things and tolerate a few things if it means the sister doesn't have to work as hard and get out here and be clocking the clock, the 9 to 5. I'm open to that, you know, and it's funny because I know my younger days, it was like, I don't care how much money you have, you ain't gonna tell me what to do. Excuse me?
Right. Be on a schedule.
Exactly, you know, let me get used to saying, no, I don't like being bossed around by a rich man. I've never experienced it, but I am open to it.
Monthly allowance.
Yes. Yes. You know what? If it costs to be the boss, and you are the boss. Like, I'm not totally against it as long as you don't come with it with some ill intents. I don't think you should do it if you know you genuinely have no interest in the person. You totally disregard the person. And then going to what Malcolm says, there are some men that know this. You know, there are some older gentlemen, you know, I love the pickup line. You can have all my Social Security. You know, like, well, then, hey, partner, shit. You know what I'm talking about? You know, that's not a lot, but, you know, I've heard men say things like that. I got retirement. You know, like, they'll look at you like, look, I got retirement. Well, you know what? You, hey, shit, you ready to retire? You ready to travel? You're not trying to play no games. You happy just to have a hot little young 35, 36-year-old walk into the house. Cook a meal, no back talking. We can do some things. We absolutely can do some things. Having change does not hurt.
So. And it seemed like a lot of wealthy men choose to spend time with younger women who are not as established as they are. Maybe it's because that does put them in, as far as the power play of the relationship, in a position of control because they're footing the bill for everything. Because I've noticed that I was looking at some pictures of some basketball players who were once married and who are now all divorced, and it was like a succession of pictures of them throughout the last couple of years, and every picture seemed like the group of women they were hanging with was getting progressively younger and younger. And at first I was like, what is this about? But I'm like, oh, you know, if they're younger, chances of them having money of their own and any kind of control or anything is slim to none. So that keeps the men in positions of power.
The other definition of gold digger that I do want to bring to the table, which is probably more along the lines of stuff that something that we've experienced, is the idea of when I think of gold digger, I think of somebody who, even with my meager, I don't know, got a BA degree salary, that you basically want me to spend money, everything is on you. Like, I spend all my money on you. Mm. You never contribute. There's no Dutch. All the money that is spent in the relationship comes out of my bank account. That, to me, is also a very critical definition of a gold digger.
Gold digger and Dutch, like, what? Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that? No, I grew up with the EPMD version of what the gold digger is. And it's funny, the person who popped in my head, if I was trying to think of somebody who I guess you could describe as one, but I don't know nowadays, and it's a fictional character, would be Lisa Ray's character in the Single Ladies, the one she's always dating high profile guys of wealth. Like, that's every guy she dates is somebody who's probably like at least a millionaire. And she's just like, I gotta be taken care of. It's like, well, you cannot fit your own bill. You don't want to do that. I'm not with that for myself. I was looking for a wife who's like, all right, do you want to work? Do you want to contribute to the amount of wealth we're trying to get, or is it all on me? Because if it's all on me, I'm going to say and do whatever the hell I want. Because if you can say,
now,
well,
that's true.
Yeah, and you get women who are like, well,
I want.
Basically, I can have as many women as I want if I feel like it. If I feel like doing it, I can. It's like, well, what are you doing? Nothing. I'm paying for you to do stuff. You don't want to cook. I'm paying somebody to cook. I'm paying for you to just have fun. Well, I do all the work, make all the money. So guess what? You don't get to do nothing. And I guess it seems harder now because we now have this, I guess people like to call it this rise of the independent woman, who's like, now I want to have more control of what goes on in my life, and I can make my own decisions. You know, it's funny how are there less gold diggers now? Because now it does seem like there's a lot more. Because women like Cal Tori are like, wow, it's kind of hard out here.
It is. It is, you know. And I think if you're a down smart... on gold diggers,
but after them bills started piling up, it was like, you know.
Right.
Change your heart.
I think, I'm talking to my independent women, that if you are smart, you will use that as a leverage. Because if you can walk
Don't be too independent.
If you can go to the table and say, you know, I can contribute, that lets a brother know that you are capable of contributing, that you are capable of getting out there, going to work, and bringing something to the table. But being capable and doing are two totally different things. So I think it's a plus. You know, I think for me, and I joke, but I'm joking and being totally serious. I'm like, I'm so serious. I get away with saying, like, I don't want to foot the bill, because I'm not someone who could not foot the bill. I've proven in my character that I do get up, that I go to work every day, I provide for myself. So I'm not presenting someone who's living on tuna budget and expecting everybody to put lobster at the table.
Right.
Like, it's easier for me to say I want lobster because I carry myself in a sense. You may see me and my friends out just the girls eating lobster together. So it kind of brings down the wall, but I do know that a lot of brothers use that term still, like gold digger. You know, just because you are saying I don't want to go Dutch, you know, the assumption is that because I don't want to go Dutch, I'm a gold digger. When really it's really my test to see, are you a provider and are you willing to provide? Or are you going to hit me with a 50-50 every time we go somewhere? Because if it's 50-50, then I might as well go on and get Mr. 55-year-old who's like, shit, I don't want no smack. Don't come home talking smack. Make me a sandwich and some chips. And we good. And I can do that. You know what I mean? I can do that. I will lay down my independence for doing that and not feel less of a woman or any of that hype that a lot of us buy into.
Yeah. I think a lot of brothers are afraid. I've heard brothers say that one of their fears in terms of getting into a commitment is that they're dealing with a woman who really just wants their money. Right. And is not really wanting them, and how do you ever know until you really get into deep into the relationship and find out? And then I think for some women, I've seen this happen with a few women that I know, women who date men who are high profile or are wealthy. It's hard for them, it seems, once they've had that experience, to go back to the average dude that's only making five figures and not six or seven figures, because they've gotten accustomed to that VIP experience. They've gotten accustomed to a man who isn't concerned about finances. So him footing the bill for stuff is no biggie. He has disposable income, and the idea of going downward from that is a problem. So they kind of stay within that same group and continue to date men in that environment.
But then you're only really focusing on one, and I'm saying attribute, if that's his attribute, his finances.
Right.
Because there are guys who can throw you jewelry and designer bags and throw you shoes, but he's also throwing you some BS.
Right.
In return.
And how many other people is he throwing it to as well?
And anyone who's, you know, been with someone who can do those things, if he's not a good person...
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, if you find yourself just like looking at those beautiful shoes that he bought you, but you're looking at them from your bed and he ain't there with you and you ain't gonna get to go out with him in those, you wearing them on a girl night out talking about how this dude is cheating on you, then what's the point?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think it has to be a balance. I think in my mature age, I might be a little less argumentative about you not coming home at a decent hour. You know, if you are providing this wonderful home, you know, because you have to look at those things. If a man is willing to say, yes, stay home for a year or for 6 months, 3 months, and I'll take care of the bills, you got to look at that, because that's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing wrong. I don't think you're a gold digger if you say to the man, honestly, I want this. And then the man says in return, I can provide that for you, then I think you should appreciate that and not take it for granted. That's where the balance is. And I don't think that is a gold digger, but to some it would be.
Right.
It's going to be very interesting because I read a Time magazine article, I think in 2012, where there are increasingly more women are becoming breadwinners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be very interesting to have this conversation about men being gold diggers.
Well, that's the new thing. That's the new thing I heard of. There are men who want to be kept. There are men who expect when they go out, the woman, if she approaches him, is buying a drink.
Had that happen.
Right. They have men who want women to always foot the bill or at least foot the bill. You know, if a woman does any level of initiation, that means she's paying for it.
Had that happen. I said, why don't we go out instead of me cooking? Got there, sat, talked, ate dinner, hee-hee-hawed, and then for about 15, 20 minutes, the bill just sat on the table. And he told me, well, you were the one who said, let's go out. Y'all already know how I handled that situation right there. So my next line was, should I pick you up and carry you across the threshold too and bring you roses? Don't ask me to lay down my femininity. And ask who picked up the tab. Yes. But the fact that we had to go through that and I was disappointed, like, really? Like, I shouldn't have to say this to you.
Right.
I did give him another day.
Wow.
Imagine that.
Now, this is a good woman, because I would have been like,
because he learned from my lesson.
No, I don't care. You didn't get it. You didn't understand from the get-go.
And then the second time I got a text, it was the first date, and the text came through and said, well, do you mind getting us this? Do you mind footing a tab this time? Because I have to buy school clothes for my daughter. Our first date, and this is what we don't even have to spend money on the first date. Meet me for coffee.
Right.
To get to know me.
Right.
But you're that cool with, like, you mind getting this tab?
The text came across at the same table?
No. This is different brother. This is two different people.
I know, but when did the...
We were supposed to meet up.
This is
that
why Toria is ready to hook her a big fish, because...
yes, like, real.
She's sick of it.
We're supposed to go out this evening. We're making plans. We're going to go out. We're back and forth. Let's go here. And then the last text before us getting together that evening was, by the way, do you mind picking up the tab this time? I'm a little tapped because I just had to buy my daughter school clothes.
And this is the first date.
This is the first date.
Like, there's just for sure going to be a second date where he can pay for the next.
Right.
It's just been like, second thought, no.
Yeah, right. We never even had a first date. We never. And I was so bothered by that. Like, you know, became Facebook friends with him before that. And so I see him, you know, holding up bottles. You know, I really want to go in just because my little comedic self thinks I can. Like, shit. Are those your daughter's school clothes that you're holding in your hand? Do not sip Moet if we've got to ask the women that we date to pick up the tab because you're tapped. You even use I'm tapped. Like, that I'm tapped right now, so can you get it? This isn't my dude. It's different if you're my man. Let me clarify on this. If you're my man, there's not a problem. If you're my man, you wouldn't even have to tell me you were tapped because I would know.
Right.
We're working this out together, but the first time you and I go out, you're going back and forth. You're making suggestions on where we should go, and then you hit me with the final tap, like, well, do you mind picking this up because I'm tapped, and I got to buy my daughter some school clothes?
That to me, I mean,
so I'm like, is that what's happening?
Well, I wonder how the 20 somethings are dealing with this. Like,
I don't even know if the 20 somethings do they even date? The 20 somethings, and we need to get some on this podcast, but I watched the 20 somethings behavior and I'm just like, oh wow, y'all don't hold doors for each other. You don't walk on the curbside. I actually believe that chivalry, unfortunately, is dying a horrible death with younger generations. One, because who's teaching you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're barely hanging on to it ourselves in our generation, but that society is not like that. The respect for roles, everything's just shifting. That's why I'm saying that this idea of women becoming the breadwinner, it'll be very interesting to just see how roles begin to shift, because let's say you are a woman and you are dating a man and you are the breadwinner from the moment you meet him to the moment you die. Is the expectation like no? As in you
just make more money than he does. No, but
you bring well breadwinner basically means you provide for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're footing all the bills. So what does he do?
That's well, I'm sure he works, but I'm just saying like you.
Well, I would hope so. When I was in the army, our household was provided for by my check.
Right.
Oh, thanks for telling me.
No, I mean, but the thing is.
Then John took care of the
children. John took care of the house. When I came home, there was.
That's what I mean. So, what did he do? Yeah.
So, that's what he would do.
I was a couch man.
Okay, because I looked him before then.
I looked real pretty every day.
That's different. He's taking care of home. He's taking care of the kid. You know, I'm not gonna.
But dating.
In dating, and I'm not gonna lie. I would.
That's not acceptable.
Question: were you always cool with that, or was there ever a time where you're just like, did you ever become uncomfortable with that?
No, I never became uncomfortable with that. I guess probably because I never had time to think about it. Because I was getting up at 4 a.m. coming home at 7.
Right.
It's like. Whatever.
I worked all the way up until then, and then I worked.
And not like, that's part of clarification. Part of clarification. I was kept, but I did work.
That was like our whole.
This was different then. This is someone who was working and lost his job. That's different. That's different. Because you guys met where you worked.
Yeah.
So that's different. I'm talking about the situation where.
Although I was good to kind of relax for a minute.
Now, what if he would have told you from the get-go
that he had no intentions of me? Yes. I probably would have been like, well, I have no intentions of this being an actual relationship.
Right, like, you know. But then, you know, how many women are comfortable with the reverse roles? Like, Jillian Barbary does that with her husband. Like, she's the worker. And
probably because now it's become an option. Guys are like, well, shoot, I mean, if a woman going to flex and be like, I want to be the breadwinner and I want to put the pants on, okay, fine. How about, okay, my turn. Because I think most guys, you have that sense of being the provider. It's just built in. But I came from, if I weren't making that much money, I would be like, you know what? Can I not work? Are you making the money? How about if I don't work?
And then what are you going to do, though? Like, are you working on a project?
He's taking care of the home.
Okay.
Is that okay?
No,
is that okay, sister? Is that okay?
Chris and I have talked about that because of my level of ambition and wanting to be an entrepreneur.
Right. That's what I'm like. If he wants to be an entrepreneur, then just like, okay.
Right.
You invest in your husband's dreams.
Right.
But if you're talking about a cat just chilling at the house, flipping through the station.
No. Yeah, we talk about the idea of me eventually being, look, we ain't there yet, but the point of where I'm bringing in more money than he is.
And then he has an opportunity to take time away from work and chase after something he's interested in.
Exactly, oh, which I'm all for.
Kim's going to be the new Oprah, and Chris going to be the new
Oprah. Exactly. That's where we going.
Yes. Now, that's totally different. Like, I would totally support my, yes.
Stemming got money.
Yes, Stemming got money. Stemming got money. And then in return, it's like, he supported you while you were trying to get to where you were going, so why not? Like, you know, that's like, okay, well, here, honey, here's the money. I want you to invest in you.
Right.
Do you? Let's make it work. That's, I could do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd like to back up and defend a certain time, because I think there needs to be distinction made between genuine gold diggers, women who really don't care about anything beyond money and status, and the Torias of the world who aren't gold diggers, but, you know, if they're walking by a stream, they see it glittering down at the bottom of the water.
She's jumping in and gotta get it.
We'll hike up her jeans a little bit and pick it up.
Right. Well, because honestly, is it hike up her jeans? Step in.
But you know, it's easy to confuse valuing hard work and dedication in a person for valuing their money. But really, it should be important to a woman and to a man, I think, especially nowadays when you sort of need two salaries to get by. But
yeah,
it should certainly be important to a woman to know that her man is going to make every effort to provide. Not so much because she should already have the money laid out in front of her and that she shouldn't have to do anything, but because it does speak to a person's character, really.
The
idea that they're willing to sacrifice and to really be a team player for the sake of the relationship. And that's an emotional component. You can fall in love with a person based in part upon the fact that, you know, maybe you didn't like this, that, or the other about them, but this is a person who really cares enough to go out and sacrifice and work hard for me.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a respectable thing. And that doesn't make you a gold digger. That means that you just value that part of a person, right. That person's personality.
Yeah. And then my other fear, too, is when you think about that, it's like if both of us, and like you said, in most households, it takes both to work. If we're both working, we cannot deny that two working people in a household with children, that's hard. Mm-hmm. And I don't have it, but I just think about how I feel at the end of the day. And I imagine coming home to a husband, coming home to a kid, taking care of the kid's needs, taking care of husband's needs. That's hard. You know, something's going to have to give, or you're going to have to work really, really hard to keep everything together. And it's like, okay, if one person isn't working, then their main job is to sustain the family, to make sure that the family stays in place and to sustain our relationship. Like, because I've seen something loses, whether it's our family sacrificing because everybody's always tired, so no one's spending time with the kids, or mommy and daddy are just that now. They're no longer boyfriend and girlfriend. Because I feel like we should be husband and wife. Mm-hmm. We should still be boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. We should. Yeah. So how do you do that when everybody's working so hard 9 to 5 and then you come home, you want to give yourself to your kids? And I almost look at the marriages that I know, and even like these couples that were like married for 62 years, one of the commonalities is that somebody did stay at home. Someone made a sacrifice, and sometimes not necessarily that they wanted to stay at home. They had dreams of their own as well, but they put their dreams on the side or on the back burner just to make sure that all those pieces are in place. Because at the end of the day, while the money is very important, we do know that even all the money in the world doesn't solve all the issues and doesn't mean that you're going to always be happy. So I think it says something that almost like marriage almost has to have some of those traditional roles or a very good understanding. Let's really talk. Let's be upfront. You know what I mean? If you know I can't do this, be happy. I cannot go work from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and then come home and put a smile on you and be sexy and all that. If you know that from the beginning, say that to the person, like, and that's why I think I should be able to stay at home.
Well, it does get mixed. And I know nowadays it does seem like, I guess, for women, because this supposed glass ceiling is somewhat broken. Mm-hmm. Now that before it felt like the woman had to stay at home.
Right.
And, you know, half the time I couldn't make my dreams happen because I wasn't allowed to do that.
Right.
Now that I can actually go out and fulfill my dreams, I don't want to be the one to sacrifice.
Right.
And I wasn't the one to let, you know, Kim or whoever I was going to marry do that. I didn't like that. I'm like, I've seen stuff happen like that, and I guess part of me is like, why would you do that? You know, if this is something you really wanted to do and you can still somewhat make it happen, I'd say go for it. Because what I don't want is you to be old and all the kids are grown and you're like, you know what, I had this dream and I gave it up and now I'm bitter about it. I'm like,
right.
Like, go ahead and do what you want to do.
Right.
You know, I had to stay home and like, oh, so now everybody, it's all our fault. It's all the kids' fault that you stuck at home and your life for you, it just sucks because it's all it is, and I'm at home and I want to do this, but I can't because I got to help y'all out.
Right. Yeah. I think we've got to loosen it up because it's so hard these days. Some women are not, but it makes it hard for women to just openly say, yes, I like to be treated. I like nice things. Like, we should be able to say that without the fear. And I have no fear of being called a gold digger, but without hesitating, like, oh, you're going to call me a gold digger. I was actually called a gold digger yesterday, which was kind of funny. But I think there has to be some truthfulness out there and some open conversations about it, because at the end of the day, we know that money, while it can hurt and it doesn't solve all problems, it does solve a lot, you know, and it can help a relationship be happy with the other components.
Yeah, you want somebody who's making a decent job, because I would ask a lot of these women who want that. I'm like, would you marry a guy would you consider a guy if he drives a bus or he does something that's a middle class job? It's steady work, but it's not glamorous. Right. Are you like, okay, you know, he seems to be ambitious and like, hey, I got a job. I'm serious about my job.
Discipline to keep it.
Right. Then you could be like, would there women who'd be like, okay, that's cool. Wouldn't you like, yeah, we can stop right here.
Right. No. See, and you got to go off the to me, what's more important is his willingness to share his gold as opposed to how much gold he has. Because you can't be the cat with all the gold in the world and you just chucking out coin at a time. Whereas you can be the brother that's got few coins and you're like, what's mine is yours. I want the brother that's more giving than the man that has more to give. Because just because you have more to give doesn't mean you're willing to give it. Or you may have some stipulations with that giving. You know, like you said, the idea of it costs to be the boss. It does. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I had to pay for everything and I say, come and live with me for free, don't do anything. Hell yeah, I'm running. You know, that's why God doesn't make us all men, because I'd probably be horrible. You talking back? Don't you ask me what's about came home, woman. Just kidding, because I don't want my future husband to treat me that way. But I'm just saying, you got to go after who's willing to share the gold. Not go after, because that sounds bad. But I think you do better by looking at who's willing to share the gold as opposed to who's got his one eye open thing. All you want is my gold. Like,
right.
No, fool. I got my gold over here, too, for us on a rainy day.
See, Toria's not a gold digger. She's a gold sharer.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yes.
And on that note, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Join us again for the next Black is Bright. Peace.
Peace.